what I would like to do, before, we have three simanim now that we have to do. I hope we'll finish them before this ban is out. Kuf Pei Dalet, Kuf Pei Vav, and Kuf Pei Tes, which will be the entire first half of Nida we'll have completed, except for one simon we're not going to do, which is Kuf Pei Zayin, which is Ro Adam Mei Chamas Tashmish, because it's not really shayach so much in Metzias Bisman Hazeh. I can't tell you for sure, never happens, but I've never heard of it being an issue. If a woman is experiencing bleeding, you know, during due to Tashmish, it's generally speaking not uterine bleeding, it's going to be some kind of bruising. It would be hard to explain in contemporary terms of Metzias, where actually intercourse is actually going to cause menstrual bleeding. In other words, if a woman's about to get her period, well, it's conceivable that you should be Ro Adam Mechamas Tashmish. It looks like that because if you do A and then B happens, well, there's a correlation or an association, which doesn't necessarily mean causation. Could one come up with some type of hormonal theory that could, in such a situation, explain a little bit? You could sort of come up with something. In fact, recently in the Daf Yomi, I think Judah sent this to me. You sent everyone. Oh, okay, you share with everyone. I have said that for a long time, that, you know, when you get this idea that Pir Sanida, due to great stress, while the direct effect is seems unlikely, a general effect and correlation will exist between stressful environments sometimes and an impact upon menstruation. In fact, you see sort of the inverse in our simon, that we're going to explore two women who are misulakos damim, where there may be certain kulas because we expect that they may not get their period. One is a muberes, which you understand, and idin muberes amenika. I mean, it's both, but I forget which one is compared. And the other is hoiseh b'machavo, she's in hiding. In other words, in a time of great fear, you know, intense fear. And the Gemara suggests that she is misulakos damim. So one of the things the Beis Yosef has to grapple with is that the Gemara seems to equate the two, but I think the Tur, or the Rashba, I don't remember who it is exactly, actually makes a chiluk between the two, in that in both cases, l'chulei alma, if this man havesis is passed and she didn't do bedika, she's tahora l'chulei alma. However, the question is, do you need bedika l'chatchila b'shas havesis? And that, even though the Gemara seems to equate the two, the Tur seems to make a distinction between the two. That when it comes to a menika or a muberes, that you don't even need to do bedika b'shas havesis. Whereas when it comes to a hoise b'machavo, you do. And the Beis Yosef just says at the end, even though it doesn't make sense in terms of the Gemara, in terms of Metzias it makes sense, because we know that many women, even when they're in a state of fear, hoise b'machavo, they still continue to get their period. Right? In other words, it's sort of an acknowledgement that it's not a direct, definite thing, and likely and certainly, but it's more a possibility. So it is conceivable that stresses, because menstruation is related to hormones, and stress affects the hormone levels in the body, then it sometimes can have something of an impact. Sam?
Is that what the human hormone saying against Dam Chimut, or?
I like to say the same thing about Dam Chimut. In other words, the Rishonim already know, like, Dam Chimut, it's kind of hard to find, but as an idea, it's not crazy. And I think that they make something of an association that a woman is Masriya the way the man is Masriya. That may be that, but there actually may be, again, I don't know Metzias, you're going to actually find it, but you could understand why Dam Chimut is not it's not totally removed from a scientific mode of thought, in that, for those who know, Dam Chimut is one, if any of you, we didn't touch upon this, we did see it in one Gemara, but if a man is Tovea, a woman, Linase, even if they had Erisin already, but there was no Seteif and Nisu, and Tabul Linase, she needs Shivanikim, we're afraid of a drop of Dam Chimut, right? So some Rishonim have Kulas, they're like, you know, some Rishonim things say you don't need to have Sektara, so we're mocked, but I think you do, but there's a Simon later in the Kuf Tzadis about Dam Chimut, about Tabul Linase. But in principle, it's not a crazy, in other words, it's not totally removed from a general scientific way of thinking that hormonal, again, they don't obviously know the hormones, but hormonal influences will have an impact upon menstruation, because really menstruation is all about rising and falling hormonal levels. Yehuda?
Could it be starvation?
No, that's a different issue. You get women either in the absence of nutrition or, and it may be related, women who are highly trained athletes in intense training will sometimes experience what they call, I think, amenorrhea, which is they don't get their period. Some of them have to do with the fact that one of the things that is linked to estrogen storage is fat. And when you get women who are highly trained athletes, it could be. I don't know the exact process. I'm sure it's been studied that in the absence of enough fat in the body, you may get a you may get, you know, there may be a drop in estrogen levels that may prevent the menstrual cycle. I don't know, but you can look that up. But it is well known that in female athletes who are engaged in intense training, it is not uncommon. What I've seen recently, just having sort of passed across it, is that it's not generally regarded as, it's not abnormal, but it's not necessarily healthy either. It might be a sign that they need more nutrition. But it certainly is known. So certainly starvation will most certainly lead to that. There's no question about that.
So the question is, maybe it's not really fear in these situations that's causing lack of menstruation.
Except, but here's the story. Haisa b'machavo sounds like it's a fairly short-term thing. And most of us, well, pretty much, I'm fairly confident everybody in this room has plenty, you know, pounds of fat on them, in one level or another, that they have, you know, for a few days' worth. You know, a pound of fat is about 3,500 calories. Said if you're not exercising, not running around in a typical day, you probably burn 1,500, 2,000 calories or something like that. You can go a while without food. What?
Basal metabolism for a male is like 2,100.
Yeah, and that's if you're, but that's probably not overly active, but not probably overly sedentary. So the bottom line is, we got a lot of fuel to burn on us. Even people who are fit and thin and so on, you still are going to have, unless you're super trained, you know, probably 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% body fat. You know, if you got 15 pounds of fat on you, as I like to say, that's a lot of miles. So anyway, so I don't think that Hoysa Bamafo fits in that category.
Are you sure that's true for women also, not just today?
So it's one of the questions that I wonder about, which I don't know. In other words, Bari was always a sign of health back then, because it means you had a little storehouse in case there was a little shortage of food. I imagine that people were thinner on the whole then, but nonetheless, I'd imagine that they were, you know, unless they were, it could have been malnourished, but I can't imagine that the Haisa b'machavo, I mean.
Women need, I think, 20% body fat to menstruate.
Okay.
That could, because even in a time of famine, that could.
Okay, I mean, there is a Gemara, by the way, that doesn't obviously understand the same linkage, but one of the Basulim cases in the first Perek in Ksubos, where they came to Rebbe in Shnei Batzores, and he said he didn't find any dam. Now the truth is, you should find dam either way. The dam Basulim are going to be there, but I think it's sort of associated. There's no dam nida. And he said, the Baal Tov Sasi Dam, and Rebbe takes them into the Beis HaMerchas, he feeds them, he takes care of them, and then he's Boel, the guy's Boel, and there's Dam, wonderful, and he quotes the Pasuk in Eicha, Tzafad Atzmam Al Bisaram Yavesh HaYacha Eitz, I think. So again, that idea exists, but that seems to be a more extreme manifestation. Okay. So we're going to be dealing with, so I'm not going to do Kuf Pei Zion. Last time I taught Nida, I actually did it with two students or one and a half students in intercession in my office to go through it very quickly. But I don't know. I'm not sure if it's anybody's particularly interested. Maybe if anybody comes on a hike, we could do it at the top of a mountain or something like that. So I would like to try to do all, as most of the Gemaras that are Shayach to Vestos, for all three Simonim first. I'm not going to do all of them, but do a whole bunch of them. And then as you go through the Beis Yosef, it will be much, much easier to do. Okay, the first two simanim are relatively short, are very important to halacha lemaisa. Kuf Pei Tes is also important to halacha lemaisa, but a lot of the material in it is sort of not typical commonly. In other words, when we are, some of you guys started already the Gemara, right? So you have starting to get a little bit of a chush for what's going on. So you understand that you have something called Prishas HaVesas. And for most women, and if you don't have a Vesas Kavua, and this, by the way, goes to another part of the hormonal thing, I think I mentioned this, one of the things that has totally changed, clearly. And even though all the Rishon and many Acharonim seem to testify otherwise, it's obviously a Shinui HaTeva, is that they describe most women have a Vesas Kavua. They see women are Lemudos Liros from every 20 days, every 30 days, whatever it is a pretty fixed period. And that was once upon a time true, apparently. It is not true anymore. Why it's not true? I'm assuming that there are disruptions in the environment, whether it's chemical disruptions, whether it's sleep patterns and artificial lighting that totally throws things out of whack. Don't know what exactly they are, whether it's greater nutrition availability. Don't know what it is, but whatever it is, it's clear. And there's no way I would assume that they're mistaken in the Metzias, because presumably they dealt with this on a regular basis, right? Their wives presumably had Vestos. They were Porish Bishas. In a Bishas HaVestos, it's inconceivable to me this is a case of a mistake in their estimation of the Metzias. Seems to me this must be Shinui HaTeva. But Lamaisa, with all the case, yeah.
Could it be that we now bleed down Tahor at odd times every winter? Maybe we really do still have Vestos Kavua, but we just bleed down Tahor at odd times.
Fair. The sneeze was an appropriate response. Sneeze could be, I don't know if itush is a sneeze, but that's one of the bestos, okay? So that's what you get for that. No, but in all seriousness, I don't think so. But today, generally speaking, if women don't have a vesis kavua, and the only time that my sense is that women have a vesis kavua is if they are using hormones of some kind, then you tend to get, if a woman takes the hormones for a certain period of time, used to be 3 weeks now, sometimes they take them for longer, and then they stop taking them, usually within a pretty fixed time after they take the last pill, they will get their period. That's a case where you may have a vesis kavua. You also have a vesis kavua al pi din, not a mitzias, in that if a woman never gets her period earlier than, 26 days, but sometimes she gets 26, sometimes she gets a 29, sometimes it's 27, sometimes it's 31, we will see that up until 26 days for those purposes, she has a vesis kavua, not to get her vesis. Once you get to 26, then we have to deal with vestos. But typically speaking, a woman's going to be chosheshes for usually two or three days, but that's really all you need to sort of know about the simanim on vestos, that you need to know whether it's two or three, whatever she do hold of. She's chosheshes for the last day of the month she saw, and she's chosheshes for the onah beinonis, which is either 30 days or 29 days or whatever. That's complicated. And, I'm sorry, I take that back. Those two may be the same thing. And then there's vesas haflaga, the number of days that she had between her previous two periods. That's what you'll be chosheshes for. So, bottom line is that we're not going to deal with the vesas kavua too much, but even the vesas shenin course are pretty straightforward. So we're going to do simen kuf pei tes, but a lot of it, I think, can be boiled down to a sort of fairly small nutshell, whereas kuf pei dalet and kuf pei vav are much shorter, but there actually is a lot lemais in it because it deals a bunch of different scenarios. Danny?
Why are we assuming that the vesas kavua described in the Mishnayos here are more common than the vestos described in one day?
No, so the reason it's not described in the Mishnah, it's look at the language of the Torah to open the Siman. And a lot of Rishonim and Achronim, I think, echo that idea.
So you think it was like the Mitzvahs, people would have their vestos on the same day of every lunar month?
Something like that. Or I would say a fixed interval of days.
But like not on this.
No, correct. Day. I mean, the term mensis comes from the word moon, because they thought it was somehow related. Which is obviously because they were getting their period approximately every month.
Right, but that doesn't really sound like a case of Mishnah Teva so much as a case of...
No, so all I'm saying is that one gets the sense reading any number of passages, not in the Gemara itself, I think, but in the Rishonim, that most women have a Vesas Kavua. Right? And I think that usually means a fixed number of days apart. And the reason why it's the same day of the month, Danny, it's typically very close. Right? Because if the typical average period is like 28 or 29 days... Well, guess what? In the lunar months, 29 days.
What? I'm
not talking about the hour. I'm talking about the day.
Okay.
So anyway, with that lovely hakdama, all right, let's get someone who would like to volunteer to read it. We have not as much materials, but you will read efficiently whoever you are. Moshe?
Okay.
Mishnah and Tamach. Come on, Aleph.
Holy Shah, Shiesh La Beses.
If you're learning this Masechta from the beginning, you recognize that phrase, and immediately you wonder why is it repeated, and of course the Gemara asks you a question. Go ahead. What does Daya Shaita mean, by the way?
That you don't have to be choshesh that it started before you saw it.
And the Nafkamina being? Osuka Bataros. So you don't have to be choshesh that the last 24 hours. Normally we say that if a woman bleeds and she doesn't have a vesis kavua, she has to assume that maybe the blood already exited the uterus and was in the bayis achitzon but didn't come out sometime in the last 24 hours, and anything she touched, either you go back either to 24 hours or to the last bedika, whichever is closer in time. So max is 24 hours. It could be less than that, but whichever one is the more recent one, that's where we say that she is metama lamafreya. Taro's food that she touched, stuff that she touched. Okay, go ahead. Elohein.
Elohein Avestos. Mifahekes.
What is Mifahekes?
I think there's two explanations. One's about like all the limbs kind of spread out, and then the other one is like her mouth opens wide.
I think they're the same though.
Are they the same thing?
I think they're both forms of yawning.
Yes.
The degrees of yawning, right?
Correct. Dr. Seuss has a book about the yawn, not about the yawns. Yes, yawning is contagious. So what Rashi describes is yawning.
Okay.
All right, and then Me'atesh es?
Yes, sneezing.
Sneezing.
Mechosheshet b'pi krisa.
That's the one that makes particularly, does make a lot of sense. B'chi krisa uveshipule me'eha. If she has either on the edge of her stomach, a shipule me'eha, or I think what the term they use in anatomy for this, sort of the fleshy part, sort of below the navel, just above the malchum area, but there's a term for it, but I don't remember what it is.
Intestines?
No. What? Well, I know, but there's a term, whatever it is, that's the shipule me'eha. Okay? Vishofas, and this is the autumn. Shofas means what? Gushing blood, almost,
yeah.
Right? Okay, that's not a veses, that's a period. Okay, that's what the Gemara will deal with it. Ruchamin.
Tamar Marot. Oxenos.
What are Tamar Maros? Tamar Moros, anybody know? I don't know.
Feverish flushes, says Jastro.
Okay, so I think feverish flushes, if that's a correct translation, probably we call them like, I don't want to say hot flashes, but something like that. In other words, you know, fine. Vechein. Anything that's similar. Of course, the Gemara wanted to know what is this including that wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, now, one of the things that you know, and you don't know this from the Mishnah, but it may be implied, it's more implied in the Mishnah on the Amud Beis. It's implied in the Mishnah, it's not stated as a klal, is that what does it mean when we say that you need three times to be koveh vesas? It's a vesas, Ruvain.
The fourth time, we assume you're vesas winning?
No.
Judah? Are you saying that before that you have to be worried about vesas?
I would say is three times is a vesas kavua. But you're choshesh for veses even before then. In other words, one time is enough to be choshesh. What's the nafkamina between, if that's the case, what's the nafkamina between one or three times for veses? Well, number one, you said, which is true, would be that if you koveh three times, then a veses kavua, there's no retroactive tumah. But there's another nafkamina, which the Mishnah will not, will spell out on Amud Beis, which is?
If it was the most recent time or not?
No.
Meaning if it was three times, but happened two periods ago.
Yossi? I'm not sure if you... What?
To uproot it,
you need to uproot it three times. But if it's a vesa shena kavu, if you had it once or twice, you only need to miss it once to have uprooted it. Right? In other words, a woman, I suspected you were aiming at that. You just didn't formulate it as clearly. And if a woman, the Mishnah will say, if a woman bleeds normally every 20th day of the month, and then she bleeds on the 30th day, the next month, she's choshesh for the 20th day. Why? Because, let's say 1 month she doesn't bleed on the 20th, but she bleeds on the 30th. The next month, she's choshesh for both the 20th and the 30th. The 20th, because she had a veses kavua, which hasn't been uprooted three times. And the 30th, because she was bled the last month on the 30th, the veses shena kavua. If the next month she bleeds on the 25th, what is she choshesh, and not on the 20th, what is she choshesh for the following month?
25th.
And the 20th still.
Times, yeah.
Right. Now, if a third month goes by, and now she's... she bleeds on the 27th, and now she doesn't bleed on the 20th, so then she's no longer choshesh to the 20th. Although, I will tell you, if my memory serves me correctly, there's a difference between when a woman has a veses kavua, which she uproots three times, and she's koveya, a different veses kavua, versus a veses kavua, which she uproots three times, but doesn't get another veses kavua. It has to do with what I'll call the snapback. Right. If she didn't establish another veses kavua, then you can have a snapback if she then bleeds once on that day, if I recall correctly. Let's say 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, okay? 25, 27, 26, 31, 20. Next month, the 20 is, I think it has the did of Vestas Kavua, not just the Vestas Shana Kavua.
Do they all need to be in increasing intervals?
No, I was Dafka avoiding that because you're going to get into Vestas Adilug, which is discussed on Samach Gimel Amid Aleph. That topic, by the way, will not be, in other words, some of this we're not going to, we're not going to get to that until we get the Kopei test, but we're going to just do the Gemara now, so you've seen it all, and then you should be able to go through the Simana much more quickly. Moshe.
So it only says Bechosheshet for Bepia Krisa, Bishplei Meha. But all these are considered Choshesha until you see it three times, right? Mifahaket, Me'ateshet.
Choshesh literally means feel, no?
Yeah. I think Kahati understood Choshesh as meal.
No, no, Choshesh means to be Choshesh for, to be machmer for.
What does that mean?
Oh, no, 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 here. Choshesh, oh, no. Choshesh is bibi kresa means a feeling.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I know what you mean. But normally we're going to say choshesh es l'ex means you're choshesh for the... Okay. All right. I don't remember what the din is by a vesis. This is called the vesis aguf, by the way. The Beis Yosef in Simen Kuf Peites has a long introduction where he explains five different kinds of vestos. I don't know if I remember all of them. There's the vestos haflaga, interval of days, vestos hachodesh, there's vestos haguf, there's a vestos akvitos, when you do a maisa, and I don't remember if the fifth one is a hybrid between vestos hayamim, vestos haflaga, and guf. I don't remember, or vestos, it's a hybrid vestos, either a day of the month and a kvita, an action you do that causes it, or an interval day that and a kvita that causes it. But anyway, so the Beis Yosef there presents a nice hakdama. Yeah.
How broad is vestos ha-maisa? Meaning, would we count, let's say, going off your birth control as vestos
ha-maisa? I think that's what it is. It's a davar pashut there. That there, I don't know if you want it there. You call it a vestos akvitas, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's you're doing a maisa that generates it, and there it works like clockwork generally if she's taking her pill consistently, right? So if you know that 48 hours after she goes off the pill is she gets her period, like, you know, and often it's close to clockwork if she's taking the pill consistently. So then, that's like a vesa kvitzus, and you know that 48 hours after she stops taking the pill, that entire ona is going to be...
Before the 48, and it's not in her vesa.
The ona, when she normally would get it after stopping taking the pill, is when she has her vesas. Because that's when she's had her... I mean, she has to establish that three times. Okay. So anyway, continue.
Tanina chalazinda. Kol isha sheyesh la beset dayashaita. Hasam bebestos diyomi. Hacha bebestos degufa.
Okay, so the first Mishnah was talking about, I'll call Vestas Diome, which is either the day of the month or a haflaga. You guys got haflaga? Means, I don't know, what's the trend? Haflaga means a differential or something? What's a...
Time gap,
yeah.
Periodic,
okay. As opposed to day of the month.
Okay.
So, and our Mishnah is talking about Vestas Aguf, which is Kidiktani. So now the Gemara says, wait, Shofas? So Rashi writes, well, look what Rashi writes. He says, okay, I would have just said differently. In other words, Rashi is saying, Shofas... sounds like this is what she does regularly.
Meaning like...
How's that different than Mifahekeru Ma'atesha?
What's that?
Linguistically, is there a difference between that and
Mifahekeru? No. I thought what the Gemara means is that Hashafa Va'azla means that we mean that's not a Vesas, that's a Simen that she's getting her going to get her period. That is her period.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, so Amar Ula...
Amar Ula, Reid Rav Elai, Bishop...
Okay, so that may even be actually, Rashi may not be disagreeing with that. Rashi may be, I think that Rashi is saying the same thing. You have, now I realize what Rashi said. What does Rashi mean?
Maybe that she's continuously seeing blood always?
No.
Like
that's
always?
No, that's not what he said. That's what I read, I thought first.
Okay.
Ruvain? No, you have to think context.
Halloa means just throughout her life she's bleeding, and clearly that's going to indicate that that's her period. So how?
It's an external siman.
So the question is, why does Rashi use those words? The answer is, the purpose of identifying a veses is that you can be mitaher the thing she touched l'mafreya. But if you're telling me the veses is that she gets her period, well, every woman... That's what he means. Hechan hua veses. Ho v'cho yameha doesn't mean she sees every day. It means the way, that's the way she always gets her period. She bleeds. That's what I think Rashi means. I don't think it's different than we were saying. Yossi?
Just for purposes of women who are not Dayashata, or how can women not be Dayashata then? Meaning, is that the Gemara's question? Meaning that any woman, meaning if you would feel the blood coming flowing out, then you would know that then you would know exactly when the blood came out, and then you wouldn't have to be, then you wouldn't have to kind of go back. You wouldn't have to like throw your tumma back to the 24 hours before or the last time.
Say it again.
What's the Gemara's question exactly? The question is that meaning every single woman. Meaning, do we assume that, or is the Gemara assuming that a woman will always feel her blood coming out of her? Is that the assumption?
Not necessarily, but this case she does. In other words, it doesn't talk about a feeling necessarily. I mean, maybe it is. Shofas means she feels. It could be she feels the blood flowing here.
She feels the blood flowing.
And then she sees the blood flowing.
Right. So the problem is that...
That is becoming a nida.
Right.
That's not a simon that your nida is about to come, that you can say that ad kan, you obviously weren't bleeding, because whenever you bleed, you always get this sign before. This is the bleeding, so what was the sign before that allows you to say that she's tahar lamafreya?
But if she actually feels the blood coming out, then why should she have to...
Because maybe some of that blood came out earlier. Whatever the reason that we don't say dayashaita, whatever reason that we say metame esleis, you learn the first sugya in the mesechta if you're doing bikis, that's the reason that will be applied there. And this woman is bleeding. If shofas is the vessess, well, that's like every woman who bleeds. And if that would be considered a vessess for the purpose of dayashaita, every woman would be dayashaita, because every woman is shofas. So the Gemara's answer is no, that she's shofas downtown. In other words, a case where a woman initially, whenever she gets a period, first she sees the wrong color blood, or the right color blood, however you like to look at it, and then she gets her tameh blood. So then you can say that the tar blood she sees at the beginning is the warning sign, it's the canary in the coal mine that she's now going to get her period, and therefore dayashaita. Yes,
what is dum tar in this kind?
And let's say color, the color.
That's still uterine blood, it's just the wrong color?
It could be a discharge also. But yes, either way. I'm going to put line just for the sake of art. It's green blood. She initially gets, remember the Heinz ketchup when they made it green?
Oh my God.
Sorry. I know. So imagine that she gets, imagine it starts out as green and then magically turns into red, or purple and turns into red, okay?
What?
Yeah, it's possible. It doesn't matter, right? It's, yes, this is in theory at a time. If it's the Mishnah, it's a time when they still know differences between red. Okay? Daniel.
Just to clarify the dayashaita concept, we're assuming that anything she would touch from the time that one of these simanim hits, meaning assuming she's had these simanim in the past, anything from
I think from that time...
What if she usually has the simen and then only ends up having her period 2 days after the simen? Does that mean she has some leeway or in time?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know because I'm not sure. See, I don't think it would help her for dayashaita. I think dayashaita works if she has this experience and then she bleeds within a certain period of time. So we say that you can... In other words, this becomes almost conceptually like a bedika. Right? In other words, she's metame always in the mafreya 24 hours unless she did a bedika. If she always has a vesses and then gets her period, so the vesses is like a bedika. It tells you the bleeding wasn't there before because the bleeding never comes until after you have the simen. But if she bleeds 3 hours later, I think you would say, still, dayashaita only up until the vesses. And then, from 3 hours later,
so
she...
Is this predicated on the fact that without one of these things, she would never know exactly when she's starting to bleed, so exactly where the cutoff is, so this is just an easy way to...
If she bleeds X hours after the vessess, why should we treat her any differently than any other woman who doesn't have a vessess, right? The whole point is that if she gets the vessess at 2 o'clock, if she bleeds, and 10 hours later, if she has this vessess and always 10 hours later, she bleeds, you don't know when the bleeding really started. So we allow her to say that a vessus itself is a marker. Before then, there would have been bleeding. But once this time lag between the vessus and the actual bleeding, we don't know when in that time period. It's sort of arbitrary. Therefore, we go to the vessus.
And just a basic question, what do we do with a woman who doesn't have a vessus?
Like most women?
Yeah.
Well, the useful thing to know is that we don't deal with Tumah V'Tahara anymore, so it doesn't matter. And we do deal with Vestos, but that's a separate rule. Notice if she gets her period on day X, then you follow the rule of Vestos. Vestos Kova, Vestos Shreina Kova. Ruvain, and then Matt, and then Jacob.
If you only have something
going back to the Chavez and we don't care if she's fleeting like, a certain period of time after the Chavez. What about, isn't that what the Nekovich is talking about? Of like, I tell you, the Mudeli, the Yogurov, the Tkhlad of Eset versus the Sof of Estot, the Sof, the Hotel Mudeli wrote, the Sof of Estot,
yes, because again, because you have a discrete point. In other words, I can talk about the beginning of the Veses, I can talk about the end of the Veses, and then afterwards, what is the cutoff point? So I can say if this woman never bleeds till right after her Veses, till after the Veses stops, until the yawning stops, the sneezing stops, then I can say that Bishas, and I have a terminal point, Sofa Veses. If she never, what?
Can that make sense? If she has certain sensations and then 2 hours later, consistently, she bleeds.
Yes, but you don't know within that. I think that, all right, so that's a question. If you believe in, there are Shaos Vestos, yes. Yes, then it's true. Well, let's talk, we'll see when we get to that Mishnah. Okay, Matt?
Mm-hmm. And she feels these sensations, so then we're saying that at that point, the truma, she has to put it down, the truma has become tummy. Is it? Yeah?
If she starts sneezing.
Any one of these things.
That's right. Time to put the truma down. I mean, in a kli, within the klebi, if she's a nida, the kli, yeah, she needs to put the truma down.
So, for but this last one, because her sensations, just that it's starting tummy blood, tahor blood, but we know that tummy blood is going to become
stomach. Right.
So will we still have this? How far back do we extend this dip? We say that for somebody who, or a woman who feels like that, so then she, technically speaking, the blood that's coming out right now is tahor, so it's not a problem.
Correct, but she better put it down because she doesn't know when the...
But she, it's now tummy, the tumor,
but
just does, did she just make it?
No, because if she puts it down and she's still bleeding tahor blood, and the tum- and this by the way is a case. Where does the where does the blood come with respect to this vessus? Beginning, end, or end? When there are two possibilities of when the bleeding comes. It either comes during the vessus or it comes after the vessus. Right?
This point is begins the vessus.
Doesn't have to be, that's the next mishnah. In other words, sometimes she sees betocha vessus, sometimes she sees l'achar vessus. And the nafkamina is, when are you mitame her too? So if the one case that's absolutely clear, there's only one way it can be, if she shofas dam tame mitoch dam tahar, is that betocha vesas or besof vesas that the tuma comes? By definition, it's besof vesas. Right? Because she's bleeding dam tahar. By definition, she can only start bleeding dam tame when she stops bleeding dam tahar. Okay.
But why did she not convey tuma to the tuma that she was holding?
Because she was tahar at the time. And when she puts it down and she's still having dan tahar. No. Again, if she sneezes.
Demarcating line.
What?
I thought it was how we demarcated from right here. Meaning from the moment she has the sneeze, whatever it is.
No, again, the question is, she has a fit of sneezing. She sneezes 20 times. And the question is, does she get her period during the sneezing, does it start, or does it start after the sneezing has stopped? That's the question. That's betocha vesas or besofa vesas. I'm just suggesting that when it comes to shofas, by definition, it's besofa vesas. That means in a case where the orach has come besofa vesas, meaning when the vesas is over, so during the vesas, the Mishnah will say she's tahora. So she's holding the truma, chu ha chu ha chu. If she puts it down before she stops sneezing, it will be tahar. Hopefully she doesn't sneeze into it also.
What determines whether it's tilat haveset or sofa haveset is case by case? So that's how
it depends upon the woman. In other words, if she's a yawner, it all depends on when she gets her period, while she's yawning or when she stopped yawning.
So could some yawners get it at the beginning of the yawn and some yawners get it at the end?
Sounds like a Dr. Seuss line, really. It does. Yes. Yes, okay. Yes. Yehuda. Jacob, did you ask you a question?
Just go back to Rashi before. Rashi explaining the hakashah from Azla, he's like saying this is like different from like regular bleeding. Like what's like the chiddush?
I think so, yeah. That's what I think he means. In other words, Vehechan Hua Veses, the whole point of the Veses is to tell you the Dayashaita up until the Veses.
Okay.
But Heichan Hu Avesas, Ho B'Chayom Ha'Roa, all she does, I would read it, all she does is see. All the days that she's going to bleed, what's the simon? She's Roa. She doesn't have sneezes or yawns or whatever else. So how is that different than every other woman? We don't say Daya Shaita.
Well, we do say
Daya Shaita. Only if she has a Veses. And this woman whose Veses is Shofa'as, well, that is her bleeding. That's not the Veses. Yehuda.
So if, how strong is this? For example, let's say you get one of these simanim that you do a veset, then you immediately do a bedika, and you find your tahor. Is the stuff you were holding tame? Because you got one of these simanim veset group?
No, because in that case, you've done a bedika, and there's no dam, so that a bedika is mama'et asayad.
No, we could say that maybe there was dam.
No, we don't assume that by Vestas generally. You know, even a Vestas Kavua, there's a whole machlokas about this, but most of the Rishonim assume by a Vestas Kavua, many Rishonim hold you mechuyif to do Bedika, but they also agree if you did a Bedika even afterwards, even though you didn't do a Bishas of Vestas, it's still good, it still works. You know, there is one Shita in Rishonim that wants to be, I mean, it's a minority, very much a minority Shita, wants to be Machmir, even though Bedika works after the Veses, it has to be done B'toch Shir Veses of the Veses, whatever that means. Shir Veses is a short amount of time. But we assume that even if it's been a while after the Veses, she has to do Bedika, and then she'll be Torah.
Also the Veses,
I don't think, I'm not aware of them drawing any distinction between them. I don't know. Cramps are often associated with menstrual bleeding, but I'm not sure whether the cramps begin before. There is something called PMS. Premenstrual syndrome. Well, it is often characterized by... I won't identify you on the tape because I'll get you in trouble. The man there is smiling because apparently he seems to think he understands what this phenomenon is. So, anyway, you don't always have, you know, some things are clear, not clear before. Some women may experience cramps before. If a woman always gets cramps before, that could be a Vestas Hankof, yes.
But even if you get cramps during, wouldn't you say...
No, because you're already bleeding, so what do you...
You would say it's the same thing. Sometimes it'll be at the beginning of the... some Vestas Hankof there are two...
No, what I'm saying is that the cramps are accompanied immediately by bleeding. You don't have four... Again, the answer is it could be a Vestas. If she does, she always... never bleeds before experiencing the cramps. Yes, that could be. Right. But very often it could be that the cramps don't come till later and so on. So
okay.
Just depends on, you know, human biology is highly variable.
You don't know statistics on this.
I do not know statistics on this. Right. Those of you who study physics appreciate that physics is pretty consistent. But biology, it's not that the laws aren't consistent, but biological systems are much more complex.
You can Google the statistics if you wanted to.
You will, Nagar, I'm sure. Okay. And you remind me in the middle of Shir. Let's go. Ged Yossi. V'chein kayotze bahen.
Okay.
Oh, who was reading? Moshe was reading.
Moshe,
I'm sorry. Moshe, keep going. I didn't mean to...
Okay. How do you pronounce it?
Tamar Moros.
Tamar Moros. V'chein kayotze bahen. Lasuye mai. Amar Rabar Ula. Lasuye... Isha Sharosha Kaved Aleha, Vemareha Kvedim Aleha, Rotetes, Begusa.
So what are these words? So in other words, the Evareha and Rosha are not uncommon, you know, symptoms that a woman might experience of discomfort when menstruating. Rotetes means what?
Shaking.
Shivering, shaking. Gosa is the interesting one.
Could be indigestion. Indigestion. Maybe?
No. I would say bloating. I would have thought. What does he Jasper say?
Nausea or indigestion.
Oh, okay.
Indigestion.
Okay. Anyway, you could swelling would be bloating. That would be because the body perhaps is holding in more fluids. Okay. And what did it say?
Swelling.
That would be like bloating, which is not an uncommon symptom.
Isn't all this similar? Like, what's the difference between bloating and indigestion?
Well, indigestion is something else. But, okay, anyway, we don't need to... It's okay. Let's go, come on. Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya Amar Shmuel.
Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya Amar Shmuel. Hari Amru, the Amim Shnayim, the Bestos Achas.
And the Mashal Amanu Chachamim.
The Mashal Amanu Chachamim.
This is kind of interesting. L'yamim shnayim, it seems they're going to read it as for days two times. L'vestos is achas, and l'mashal l'manu chachamim is shlosha. So the Gemara says, l'ma. L'mashal l'manu
chachamim l'asuyei mai. Amar Rav Yosef, l'asuyei rosha kabir ala ve'verak ve'din alaha ro'tetet ve'gosa.
Okay, so... So that's what Lamasha Lamanachacham apparently is three times. Amale Abaye.
Amale Abaye. Maika Mashmalan. Maika Mashmalan. Masnisan here. Tehap Pirsha Rabba Barula.
This is a funny kind of question in terms of the way the Gemara asking things, right? The question is, what's the point in telling us this? After all, it's the Mishnah. Now, it's not the Mishnah. It's Rabba Barula's Pirsh of the Mishnah. So it could be that Shmuel was just trying to make this explicit. Okay, but either way, so there must be something else. El Amar Abaye.
La suye achla shum verata, bachla betalim verata, ksasa pepelim verata.
Okay, so what is this? Is a case where she eats certain foods, and three different foods. What's the common denominator of all these foods? They're incredibly sharp. Shum is
garlic.
You eat raw garlic, I assume, not cooked garlic. And betzalim.
Onions.
And pilpalim.
Peppers.
This does not mean bell peppers. It means the spice peppers. What?
Like chili sauce.
Chili pepper. Or it could be chili peppers, or it means the...
Chew.
Wait, so what does it mean?
It means to chew.
It means not to grind.
Kosis usually means to eat raw. Hakosis is achita makes adam to shahako or something like that. It makes adam or shahako because that's not the way you normally eat it. What?
Adama.
Because that's not. In other words, it's not the meula form. It's not the meula form. So kosis means to chew, eat raw. Okay. So amar.
Wait. But how are these simanim? She doesn't eat onions. Then she'll have her.
No, she may not. The whole point is that in order for to get her, in other words, if she eats sharp food, then she has to be choshesh.
Okay. Even if she's
but eating. it has to experience this three times.
So she could avoid eating sharp food and never.
Okay. So what the rule, by the way, is that if you have a vet, just so you want to know, I'll answer the question. The Rashba writes, I think, that if a woman has a veses akfitzos, I'll call it, where you have to do something, and if you don't do it, you don't get your period that way, you're always choshesh for the ona beinonis. The ona beinonis is said to be shloshim yom. So I'll give you a head start on this. There seem to be a couple of deos on actually what the ona beinonis is. I mentioned to you that there are two shitos as to what a woman is choshesh for when she doesn't have veses kavuah. Everybody agrees that she's choshesh for the veses haflagos. I mean, the number of days that she saw between the last two periods, the number of days that transpired. Then, I'm going to say one way, I think the way the Shach would say, but then everybody agrees that you're choshesh for the day of the month. Now, how many days will have transpired from the last day of the month if you're doing it on the same day of the month? 30 or 29, depending upon the month. Now, if it's 30, now, the third thing is what's called the Onah Beinonis, which they say is 30 days. But if I'm not mistaken, the Shach says these aren't two different things. There's only one. And I believe it's the Veses HaChodesh. I think the way we understand him, it's a long time since I've looked at this, is the Veses HaChodesh. It's not 30 days. It's either 30 or 29. And there is no difference. In other words, when we say when a woman doesn't have a Veses Kavua, and she has, let's say, a Veses HaKvitzos, where she only gets it when she eats garlic, or she eats raw onions, or she eats chili peppers, whatever it is. So we say that if it's not tied to any number of days, then she's also choshesh for the ona beinonis, which some would say is 30 days, and some would say it's either 30 or 29. Yehuda?
You choshesh for every 30 days or just 30 days? For example,
say you have 30 days since her last period.
Say you have a birth control, you don't see a period for a year.
So then the whole point is that that's not normal because your body normally won't go that long without, breakthrough bleeding. No, but they have breakthrough bleeding for us. So typically women don't go more than 2 or 3 months. Because if... What?
With IUDs or progestin.
Now, Ayin, these are totally different parsha. That will be completely misulekes until the hormones wear off if it works. But in this case, so the answer would be, again, I would say there, she's becheskas misulekes damim, so it's not an issue.
I see. But you wouldn't say, you wouldn't be cautious for the first 30 days?
The truth is, if she does that before her wedding on some level, so then she'll have often gone 30 days before anyway and won't have gotten, so it's irrelevant.
I was told
not to be choshesh.
Yeah, you don't.
You mean once you're taking it because you're already your cheskes mesulakes damim, yeah. Okay.
But if that's not, she would say it would not be like as in that way.
Correct. I haven't seen anybody write on this, but I can understand why someone would say that's better than a vesis akvitos. Because by a woman who has a vesis akvitos, mistama, if she doesn't get it through kvita, at some point it's going to happen. Whereas here, it's not at some point it's going to happen because you're actively suppressing it. Daniel?
But conversely, if she starts to at some point do these various acts, often, not waiting 28 days, meaning let's say she used to be getting it after she'd eat shum or something. And now she feels like eating shum on a daily basis. Well, I don't understand.
Well, that's a total... Well, again, she's not going to get her period every day then, obviously.
So when is she...
I don't know if she'll be choshesh. At that point, it's not linked at all to her eating shum. Unless it is, unless you can establish that she never bleeds less than X days. In other words, even if she's eating every day, in other words, if she stops eating it, she doesn't bleed. But if she keeps eating it, by day 28, she bleeds. So then you would, that's what you would factor in.
So how was it linked to the shum to begin with? Meaning she'd only have once a month or something?
You can have what I'll call an AND circuit, where you require both conditions to be met.
Which are what?
A certain number of days have passed, plus that she eat the shum. Okay. Continue.
Amar of Yosef.
Never heard of this shmaita. So Amar Le Abaye. You were the one who told us, and this is the sugya with reference to which you told us this. Why is Abaye reminding Rabbi Yosef? Because Rabbi Yosef became ill, and he forgot a lot of his Talmud, and Abaye was the one who helped restore it. And you see this kind of a story all over Shas. Rashi often points out that Shachach Talmudo because he got sick and Abaye was helping. Okay, so Amar Le Abaye, Ad Amris Nialan, Ba'aha Amris Nialan. You were the one who told it to us, and it was on this you told us, which is the mission at the bottom of the page. Haisa.
Haisa Lemuda Liyot Rai Yom Chamisha Sar, Vishinta Yom Esrim, Zebze Asurim, Shalosh Pamim Liyom Esrim. Hutar yom hamisha asar, v'kabbalah yom esrim. She'en isha kovat la beset ad shetikvena shalosh pamim. V'amartlan Allah, amar Rabbi Huda, amar Shmuel, zu diber Rabbi Gamliel, bar Rabbi. She'amar mishum marishim ben Gamliel, she'amar Rabbi
Mishum. So, okay, so that's the, go ahead, I'm sorry. So first he quotes the Mishnah, then Amar of Yehuda, and you said to us about this, Amar, go ahead, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel.
Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Zu Divrei Rabbi Gamliel Bar Rebbe, She'amar Mishum Marishim Ben Gamliel, Aval Chachamim Omrim, Rata Ena Tzricha, Lo Lishno, Lo Lishalish.
So what's the Chachamim Shita? One time is enough, it seems. This is a very interesting shita. It's like there is no chiluk between Vesas Kuvah and Vesas Shena Kavua, would seem. Because one time is enough to make it a Vesas Kavua. Okay? So, Eina Tzricha Lo Lishnos Velo Lishlosh. V'amrina Lach, and we said to you, when we were learning the sugya,
Lishnos Amartlan Lishlosh Mibaya V'amartlan Lishnos Bevestos Lishlosh biyamin. V'neima zu dibri Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Hakamash balan. Shmuel d'Rabbi Gamliel.
1 second. So Rabbi Yosef said to them, "No, you don't need lishnos bevestos and lishlosh biyamin. Right? For yamim, you do need. What do you need for yamim? Shnayim. No, and the earlier line was. I'm trying to find the line. Why am I not seeing this? Oh, right. Liyamim shnayim. You don't need lishlosh. Levestos achas. You don't need lishnos. Right. So I'm responding. Lishnos, levestos, lishlos, biyam are unnecessary because it's enough to have one for a veses and two for a yamim, which is presumably haflaga. Right. It's impossible to have haflaga if you don't have two reios. Right. Because you don't have how many days in between. Okay. Fine. Vinema. All right. Fine. So that's what you said. Vinema. Right. So, why is this Rabban Shimon Gamliel Shita, by the way? He's famous for the Shita. He holds that three times is a chazaka. Rebbe holds that two times is a chazaka. So, Rashi explains, what was the Gemara's question? V'neima zur divrei Rabban Shimon Gamliel. What do you mean there's divrei Rabban Shimon Gamliel? But chayv other you know lomar davar b'shem umro. So no. So the answer is because everybody knows. Just say zodei b'shem leo because everybody knows he holds three times. And it doesn't have to be. You don't have to say the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not Rabban Gamliel bar Rebbe saying their b'shem leo. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that Rabban Shimon Gamliel sheet is three times that this Mishnah fits with him. So the Gemara's answer is no. You want to teach us that Rabban Gamliel bar Rebbe held like Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Now that could be significant. Why? In fact, the way the Gemara formulates suggests this, that what's the Chiddush in telling us that? You're either telling us that for historical curiosity or because of halachic curiosity. If it's for halachic curiosity, you're telling us this because it means we paskin that way. Somehow the fact that Rabban Gamliel by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi son held that way, that means something. But it's a more interesting possibility, the historical possibility is the Chiddush is, who argued Rabban Shimon Gamliel? Rabbi, who said two, and Rabban Gamliel bar Rebbe held like his data, like his grandfather held three. Okay. Yes.
I'm confused how this whole thing fits in with Abaye's response. And so Abaye gives Rabbi Yosef gives an explanation of Shmuel's statement, right? And the problem, and then Abaye points out the problem. That he's saying the same thing that Rabbi Barula said to explain our Mishnah, and then Rabbi Yosef says, then Abaye gives a new explanation. Rabbi Yosef says, I didn't hear that, and Abaye then reminds Rabbi Yosef what he taught. So how does what Abaye says? How does that fit in? How does that respond to Rabbi Yosef?
No, Rabbi Yosef didn't remember this idea of achlashum, achashum rasa, achabasalam rasa, kisisa pilpulim rasa. Now he didn't remember in what context. He never heard that before. Abaye said, "You are the one who taught us that this is what lamashalanu manu chachamim is." And Rabbi Yosef said, "I don't remember." And Abaye said, "This is the context in which you told us. You mentioned this to us in the context of when we discussed the Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis." And we pointed out, and Shmuel pointed out, that this is Rabbi Gamliel by Rebbe's opinion. But the Chachamim disagree. And they said, Rasa ain't tzricha lo lishnos for the lishlo. And you said to us, lishnos is bevestos lishlos b'yamim. And in that context, we discuss that three would be necessary for l'mashal l'mona Chachamim. You told us l'mashal l'mona Chachamim. The Gemara doesn't spell it out. But you told us what is l'mashal l'mona Chachamim is... Is shum pilpul shum betzalim and pilpul? That's what I think it means here.
Okay, and then the last time the name is Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is saying that the Mishnah itself should just say that.
The Mishnah is following Rabbi Shimon Leil's opinion, which is part of the Gemara's question. It's kind of obvious, on some level. In other words, why do you need Rabbi Gamliel to why is it attributed to Rabbi Gamliel by Rabbi Shem Gamliel? It's Rashbag Shita. Everybody understands that.
Just say that this is
Rashbag. Right. You know, Rashbag holds three times.
Okay.
Yosef?
Thank you.
Wait, the thing that he's trying to remind Rabbi Yosef about is what the Estuye Mai is, or the fact that there's a differentiation between 1 day, 2 days, and 3 days?
No, he's, Rabbi Yosef doesn't recognize this Shum, Betzalim, and Pilpilim. Never heard of it before.
As to answering the question of what the Yisrael what is Shalom is, the fact that they're a differentiated category in the first place. It seems like that's what he's dealing with.
No, he wants to know. He never heard this idea of Leyamim Shnayim Levestas Achas Lamashal Malchacham Shlosha, and Shlosha means Shum, Betzalim, and Pilpilim.
So Abai said,
"What's that? You can't tell. You're right. You're correct, but I suspect it's the whole package, and the Abai doesn't spell it out. But you're right. You can't tell. I agree. He mentions that you don't need lishnos b'yamim and lishnos b'vestos and lishlosh b'yamim. He doesn't say lirba'os b'mashalom al-chachamim, but that may be implicit. Not sure. Okay. All right.